Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Chav Vav.
Today's daf is sponsored by Katz Judaica. 632 Kings Highway. David Katz, owner and proprietor, can personally serve and deliver all your daf yomi needs. Again, Katz Judaica, 632 Kings Highway, the former Sisu. Today's daf has been dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Daf Kuf Chaf He Amud Bet, and we are going to start 8 lines from the bottom. Pekak HaHalon. We learned in our Mishnah a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding a pekak halon. In the olden days, they used to have the windows, the spaces closed up with a board. So the question was, can you take that board and close up the window on Shabbat? Pekak literally means to clog up or to stuff up the window, the hole. So Rabbi Eliezer said, you need two conditions in order to make that permissible. It has to be kashur v'talui. Number one, it has to be tied with a rope to the wall, let's say, and it also has to be dangling, right? If one of those conditions are missing, so the Bili Eizer said that that is going to be forbidden. The reason why, he said, because it looks like you're mosif on a binyan. It looks like you're adding to a structure. Hachamim came along and said, "Benkach ubenkach pokekimbo." They said, "Regardless, you're still allowed to be pokek." Now the Gemara will explain what does that "regardless" mean. What conditions do the Hachamim require, if any? So now the Gemara comes along and starts to analyze. Amar Rabba Bar Barhana, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Hakol Modim. She'en osin ohel arai b'techila b'yom tov ve'en sarich lomar b'shabbat. Everybody agrees, meaning Rabbi Eliezer and the Hachamim, they all agree that it is forbidden on Yom Tov as well as Shabbat to erect a temporary tent, meaning a person will, let's say, put up poles and then take a sheet and drape it over the poles, where now he's making a roof. Even though it's temporary, that's called an ohel arai. Everybody agrees that erecting a temporary tent on Yom Tov or Shabbat, everybody says that that is going to be forbidden. That she points out that the only isur is making a roof. However, making a temporary wall would be permissible. For example, let's say one wants to set up a temporary wall for tziniut purposes. They want to get dressed and they need to block off, let's say, part of the room, so they want to put up a sheet as a wall. So that she clearly tells us there it's permissible. So there's a difference between a wall and an ohel. When we say ohel, we refer to the roof. So a temporary roof is asur. A temporary wall is permissible. It should be pointed out that the opinion of the Tosafot is that there are certain temporary walls that would also be forbidden. That's called a mechisa hamateret, which means a wall that does something halachically. For example, the third wall of a sukkah, which now the sukkah becomes kasher. So such a wall, Tosafot, even though it's a temporary wall, still would be forbidden. That's the shita of the Tosafot. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, "Lo nechleku ela lehosif." The argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Hachamim is, are you allowed to add to a temporary roof? Meaning, let's say the roof is somewhat opened already, but there's still some airspace on top, and you just want to continue to pull it out in order to finish up the roof, to make it complete. That's mosif al ohel arai. You're adding to a temporary roof. There we have a machloket. Should it be the Eliezer omer, en mosifin b'yom tov, en tzarich lomar b'shabbat? The Eliezer is strict. He said it's forbidden not only to make an ohel, but you're not even allowed to be mosif on an ohel, not on Yom Tov, and certainly not on Shabbat. והחכמים אומרים מוסיפים בשבת ואין צריך לומר ביום טוב. And the Hachamim come along and say, no, if the oil already is there, you're just adding to it, you mosif al oil arai, so that would be permissible. Now that has ramifications to the din of our Mishnah. So Rashi tells us that the pekak, this piece of wood that you're placing in the wall, it's mosif, which means already you have the, let's say you have the wall already, now all you're doing is adding the board, so therefore the subject is, can you be mosif or not? Rabbi Eliyahu, is it a strict? He says, unless it's tied and dangling, where then already we consider it attached already, then it's permissible. But if it's not, one of those two conditions are missing, so then it would be considered you're adding to the wall, and that would be forbidden. Whereas Hachamim come along and say, no, once already the wall is there, and all you're doing is adding to it, so that would be permissible. So that's the basis of the argument. Now the Gemara says, "My ben kach u ben kach." What is this ben kach u ben kach? Which means, when the rabbi said, "Regardless, it's permissible." How much so? Amar bi abba amar avkana ben kashur ben she'eno kashur vehu shemetukan. So the abba in the first answer of the Gemara says, "Hachamim are lenient all the way, even if it's not tied." And it's laying on the floor, still it's permissible to take the board that's on the floor, not tied to the wall, and place it on the opening of the window, so long as it was designated from before Shabbat to be used as the pekak, as the closer of the window. So therefore, according to Rabbi Abba, Hachamim are very lenient. You don't need any conditions, not talui and not kashur. You just need da'at in order to designate it for that purpose from before Shabbat. Amar le Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah challenged this and said, Velem amor ben talui ben she'eno talui vehu shekashur. Why don't you say that the rabbis agree that you need at least one condition? You need kashur. And their only leniency is they don't care if it's dangling or even if it's resting on the floor, but you need kashur. Now why is Rav Yirmiyah going out of his way to say that the Hachamim will demand that you need at least kashur? Why is that his shita? The Amar Abba Bar Bar Hanna Amar Rav Yohanan Ke Mahloket Kan Ka Mahloket Benegra Negrar. Because we have a statement in the name of Rav Yohanan, and he says that the same mahloket that we have in our Mishnah regarding the pekaka halon, it's the similar mahloket that we have regarding neged ha-negrar, which literally means the lock that is being dragged. We will see that case now. Point being, we're going to learn in this case of the lock that's being dragged, that all the opinions agree it must be at least tied to the door. And therefore, if Rabbi Yohanan is saying that the mahlokot are similar, so the Hachamim must at least hold that it has to be tied. So that's why Rav Yirmiyah is coming along and saying, listen, you want to be lenient, that doesn't have to be dangling, that's another story, but at least it has to be kashur, because we see a similar machloket where everybody holds it has to be kashur. Now let's learn the case of neged ha-negrar. This time we have a Mishnah. Neged ha-negrar, you have a lock that is dragged, meaning it's on the floor. The Gemara is going to explain, it's tied to the door, and its bottom of it is dragging on the floor itself. Remember, they used to use bolts, where they used to stick in the threshold of the door in order to lock it. So again, it's tied to the door, it's kashur. However, it's resting on the ground. Therefore, they call it neged, is the lock, and nigrar, that is dragged, meaning it's dragging on the ground. No'alin bo b'mikdash, aval lo b'medina. So the first opinion says, you're allowed to use such a lock in the Beit HaMikdash if you want to lock the doors, aval lo b'medina, but not outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now what is the logic of that? So that she comes and tells us that since already you tied it to the door, and it's really designated to be used as the lock, so therefore it's constructed already. Which means we're not going to consider when you stick it in the hole as if you're constructing something. Because technically you are putting a beam in the hole that's in the ground. You're fastening it in. It might be boneh. He says, no, since already it's tied to the door, so it's considered already part of the structure already, and therefore it'd be permissible to put it in. However, the rabbis came along and said, it looks like you're being boneh, and therefore rabbinically it should be forbidden. But we have a rule. En shvut b'migdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, they waive all rabbinical gezerot. And therefore, while in the Beit HaMikdash it will be permissible because of the en shvut b'migdash, there are no rabbinical gezerot in the Mikdash, but outside the Beit HaMikdash, meaning in the Medina, it will be forbidden. Isur medrabanan. Okay? That's the first opinion. V'amunah. However, if it's not tied, let's say it's just resting on the ground itself, this lock, then already kan v'kan asur. So it's going to be forbidden both in the Beit HaMikdash and both in the Medina, because there as she tells us, isur deoraita. Because now it's not considered part of the building, it's not attached to it. Therefore, by putting it in the hole, in the threshold, you're building. You're making a boneh. That's isur deoraita. So that's the first opinion. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda in this braita, in this Mishnah, has a little more lenient opinion. And he says, Hamunah. We have to add the word mutar b'mikdash. He holds, even if it's munach on the ground, so long as you designated it from before Shabbat to be used as the lock, that's enough. The designation already makes it permissible in the mikdash, but not in the in the provinces, meaning outside. V'hanigrar, and if it's tied, even though it's dragging, it's on the floor, b'medina, meaning it will be permissible b'medina. So the b'medina is a little more, a step more lenient than the first opinion. V'tanya, now we have a b'raita interpreting this Mishnah. Ezehu neger ha-nigrar shenu'alim bo b'mikdash aval lo b'medina. What is this neger ha-nigrar that we said that it's permissible to use in the Beit HaMikdash, but not permissible in the Medina? Meaning, Tanakama said, Negra Negra, this dragged log, is permissible to use it in the Beit HaMikdash, but not in the Medina. What's the case? Give us the exact scenario. Kol Shekashur V'talui. So long as, like we learned, it's tied to the door, and it is hanging, V'roshom Magia La'aris. And even if the bottom of the log is touching the ground, that's the case of Negra Negra. The Biyuda Omer, so the Biyuda says, if it's tied, and if it's tied to the door, Ze'af Medina Mutar. The Biyuda is more lenient. He says, once it's tied, then already even in the Medina it's going to be permissible. Ela, Ezu Shemedina Asur. The Biyuda says, what's the case where in the Medina it's going to be Asur? Kol She'er Olo Kashur Ve'lo Talui. Where it's not tied and it's not dangling, v'shomto, it's totally on the, you take it out and you put it on the ground, maniho, bekeren, zavit. Okay, but clearly we see the first opinion at least, clearly holds that for it to be, the case that it's asur in the Medina, is talking where it is kashur, and it is resting on the ground, that is neger ha-nigrar. Ve'amar Yehoshua bar Abba mishme de'ula, man tana neger ha-nigrar. Now we have to get the names. Who was the opinion of this Tanakama that said Neger HaNigrar is Asur B'Medina? Who is that opinion? Rabbi Eliezer. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, which means Rabbi Eliezer of Amishnah. We know that Rabbi Eliezer in Amishnah, in order to make something mutar, you need two conditions. You need it to be Kashur, and you need it to be Tanui. Right, and that's why he's oser negra negrar, because even though it's kashur, it's not talui, it's resting on the ground. So we understand that the Tanakama is Rabbi Eliezer. So comes Rashi and says that if you're telling me that the Tanakama of this Braita, or this Mishnah, is Rabbi Eliezer, must be Rabbi Yehuda, is the opinion of Hakamim of our Mishnah, just like the Tanakama's opinion of this Mishnah of Negra Negrad is the Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, so the Bihuda of Negra Negrad must also be Hakamim. And he's discussing what? He's discussing the similar case that the Rabbi Eliezer discussed, meaning, you just said Negra Negrad is Asur B'Medina, Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer says, no, I hold Negar and Negrar will be permissible in the Medina. But what? It has to be tied, but which means it still has to be Kashur. So therefore, from this Mishnah, Rabbi Yirmiyah came along and said, hold it. Hachamim, when they say benkach u benkach, they mean whether it's resting on the floor or not, it's muta, but it has to be kashur. Because we know that the Rabbi Yohanan said that the machloket of Mishnah and the machloket of Negar and Negrar is similar. And we know that the Tanakama of Negar and Negrar is the Bili Aizen. And we know that what it's talking about where it's kashur. So Ibn Ya'iz is Mahmir, that if it's only Kashur but it's Nigrar, it's going to be Asur in the Medina. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, that case is Mutar. Yeah, because it's Kashur. So you see what? If Rabbi Yehuda is the Hachamim, that means Hachamim say it has to be at least Kashur. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah argues on Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba wanted to learn Shitat Hachamim, Benkachu Benkach, whether it's not Kashur, even if it's lying on the floor, as long as you designated it before Shabbat, this Pekak, it's mutar. Rabbi Yirmiyah comes and says, no. It has to follow the machloket of Negar and Negrar, where we see the subject is, it is at least kashur, and only if it's kashur, it'll be permissible according to the Hakamim. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le. So Rabbi Abba responds to this. And he says, Ana de amre ki haytana. Which means, I am following a different Tana. Since I have another Tana on record, it's actually going to be Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. And we're going to see that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds that you don't even need Keshira. So he's saying that when I learned Hakamim in the Mishnah, it's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. I'm not learning that the Hakamim in the Mishnah are the rabbis of Negar and Negrar. I have a different Tana that says you don't even need Keshira. Where do we see that? From the Tanya. Because we have a Braita. Kane, you have, let's say, a pole. Shitkino ba'alabayit, the ba'alabayit prepared it, liyot poteyach v'nu'elbo. He's using it as a door opener. Meaning, he's going to use this stick to stick it in the lock and turn it to open the door and to close the door. Now, when you're sticking it in the hole of the lock, you're actually building, because you're sticking it into the, you're fastening it into the hole. So therefore there's restrictions, at least rabbinically, if that's going to be permissible on Shabbat or not. So the Gemara says there, you can use this kaneh as an opener or to unlock the door or to lock the door, bizman shekashur v'talui bepetah, so long as it's kashur. Meaning you tied it to the door. The logic being, once you tie it to the door, it's considered part of the door already. And when you're putting it in and out, it's not considered boneh. Poteyah v'nu'ilbo. However, en kashur v'talui. However, if it's not tied to the door, en poteyah v'nu'ilbo. Then already, you can't take this stick from the ground and stick it into the hole, because that's going to be considered boneh. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer metukan. So long as you prepared it and designated it for that job, afal pi she'eno kashur, even though it's not kashur, it is permissible. Which is according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, all you need is hazmana. All you need is designation. And therefore, Rabbi Abba comes along and says, I'm going like Rabban Shimon Gamliel. And therefore, the same thing by the pekak. So long as before Shabbat, you designated this board that you're going to put it back in the wall. So all you're doing is you're being mosif al binyan, right? So mosif il hold is permissible, even if it's not kashur, so long as you made a designation. Amar of Yehuda bar Shelat, Amar of Aseh, Amar of Yohanan. So now we go to the halakha. Halakha kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So now he comes along and says, that is indeed the halakha. Like Rabban Shimon again, that all you need is designation without Keshira. Umi Amar Rabbi Yohanan Acheh? Did Rabbi Yohanan say this? Is that so? Behatenan, we have a Mishnah. Actually, it's the next Mishnah coming up. Kol Kisuye HaKelim Sheyesh Lahem Bet Achiza Nitalim B'Shabbat. You have pot covers. So the Mishnah says, so long as the pot cover, that's Kisui Kelim, so long as they have a handle, that's a bet achiza, is a handle, so they are not mukseh on Shabbat.
Now we'll have to see why. Which means they're telling you that the only way you can move a pot cover on Shabbat is so long as it has a handle. However, if it doesn't have a handle, it is going to be mukseh. Ve'amar of Yehuda bar Shela. Amar of Aseh Amar of Yohanan. We have a statement of Rabbi Yohanan that said, Dehu sheyesh Torat keli alein. So he comes along and says that this is being said so long as they have a function, which means they have a function besides being used as a pot cover. They have to have another usage to it. Otherwise, a pot cover is going to be mukseh. Jesus, Rabbi Yohanan comes along and says, besides covering a pot cover, if it doesn't have another usage, for example, to use it, let's say, to put things on it, to serve things on it, or to use it in a different capacity, so then he's going to say it is going to be mukseh. Now, let's analyze it. Rashi comes along and says, top line, besides, anything else besides using it for a pot cover.
Why can't it be a pot cover?
It can be a pot cover, but for everything else, the pot cover normally is, a pot is isur on Shabbat. Can't use pots on Shabbat. Pot primary function is for cooking. But we'll see the Gemara. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi's going to tell us clearly. V'amar of Yehuda, v'hu sheyesh Torat keli alehen. Shakisui, see second line of Rashi? Shakisui ra'ui letashmish le'atzmo, the Bach Ezu. V'nitalin b'Shabbat. V'im en Torat keli alav. Now here's the key. If let's say it doesn't have another usage to it, Lo amrinan kisui keli haba, because it's really not a keli. That's the point. It's a cover. A cover is not a keli. It's not a vessel. And therefore, since it's not a keli, so therefore, only to be non-mukseh, starting point has to be a keli. However, this item over here, a pot cover, Rabbi Yohanan is telling you, if it doesn't have any usage, so therefore, it's going to be considered mukseh. So he says, Rashi. We learned earlier. Kli v'daltot sheda v'teva u'migdal. We learned earlier in the Masechet that the doors of different type of vessels, just like the vessel is not mukseh, their covers and their doors are not mukseh as well. The tana matnitin notlin. We said in the Mishnah earlier that they are movable on Shabbat. Yesh torat keli alehem. They are considered a keli. Why? The reuin lishev alehem. Because you can sit on them, v'latet alehem mizonot lekatan, and you can use them as servers. Meaning that door of the vessel, you can put stuff on it and serve the food to a katan. Ulekaman mifanesh. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain why you need a handle. Handle is a separate sugya. Why only when it has a handle or not? In any event, what do you see over here? You see from this, according to the Yohanan, midi dereka torat kli alav. If an item does not have a Torat Kli on it, meaning it's not called a Keli, lo metaltelin. You cannot move it on Shabbat, which means a pot cover is not a Keli. Therefore, a pot cover is going to be mukseh. What makes the pot cover, kisuya Keli, falls off the pot now? What makes it now mukseh or not mukseh? If it has a heter, no, besides the handle, it needs to have another heter function. So what do you see? Rabbi Yohanan says otherwise it's going to be mukseh. So that she finishes the question. V'hai kaneh, this lock, this stick that you're using to open and close the lock, right? So Rabbi Yohanan says, as long as you designate it from before Shabbat to use it as the opener and the closer of the lock, it is permissible. And you said that what the halakha follows Rashbag. That's what Rabbi Yohanan said. How? Rabbi Yohanan clearly says now, if it's not a keli, so designation is not going to be enough. It's not a keli. And therefore, if it's not a keli, you should have a problem. It should be a problem of bonen now. Which now when you're sticking in, it should be asur. Which means, how could you tell me, Rabbi Yohanan, that the halakha is like the Ban Shimon Gamaliel regarding the kaneh? That you're telling me that even though it's not tied to the wall, it's on the floor, you could stick it in and you don't have a problem of bonet. What are you talking about? According to Rabbi Yohanan, he clearly said by a case of a kisui keli, that that's not considered a keli. The kisui, the cover itself, does not have a status. And what makes it a status of a keli? Another permissible function of its own. On its own. So therefore, how do you reconcile the case of the Kaneh? The case of the Kaneh itself has no other function.
So the Gemara says, V'chi tema hachaname di'ika torat keli alav. Maybe you'll tell me, yeah, maybe the case of the Kaneh also has a permissible usage to it, which means you're able to mix your olives with it. It's a steak, it's a stirrer to mix the olives with, or you want to crack open nuts, so it has a third function, therefore it's not a contradiction. So the Gemara goes the other way now. Now we go the other way. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that you need Torat Kli? Does he hold that designation is not enough? That you also need it to be a Keli Va'at Tanya? We learned in a Braita, and we learned this in yesterday's daf. Hariyot Shel Dekin. Right, you have the pieces of wood of the palm tree. Shegadran neshem etzim. Originally, you collected them for fuel. Obviously, that would be mukseh. V'nimlach alehen yishiva. Then you changed your mind and you decided to use them for sitting as a mat. So Tanaka Masa Sadiq leKasher. It's not enough to designation. You actually have to do a maaseh. You have to tie them. Laban Shimon Megamliel Omer en Sadiq leKasher. And the Ban Shimon Gamliel clearly holds and Sadiq leKasher, which means you don't have to tie them so long as you designate them. So that already is enough. So now we have a question over here, because we know what Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds. Clearly from the case of Hariyot, you see that Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds it doesn't have to be a keli. So long as you designated it mentally before Shabbat for Heter, it is permissible. That's clear. Now, Rabbi Yochanan we have a problem with. Because Rabbi Yochanan, you were posek like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. And you said by the case of the Kaneh, you're allowed, so long as you designated from before Shabbat, it doesn't have to be tied, it is going to be permissible to use. But at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan, you said that by a kisui keli, it has to have a function. That's not like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So make up your mind, do you hold like Rashbag? Or don't you hold like Rashbag? Because if you hold like Rashbag, then already it's enough, so long as you designated mentally that pot cover to use. So therefore, even though it doesn't have, let's say, any other function technically, it should be permissible. Meaning that Yochanan was soter himself, seemingly. In one case, right, in one case he was posek like Rashbag, that the kaneh, you have no problem, even though it's not tied, even though, let's say, it might not be a keli. And in the other case, Rabbi Yochanan himself was posek like the kisui keli, that it only it's not mukseh if it has a heter function. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan sfira le kebate behada upalig ale behada. You're right, Rabbi Yochanan does not hold of Rashbag through and throughout. He holds like him in one case, and he argues with him in another case. Meaning, when it comes to the Kaneh, he agrees with Rashbag that what? It doesn't have to be tied. However, he does hold that it has to have a heter function, it has to have a keli. And the Kaneh does have a keli, because as we said, it's worthy to stir the olives, or it's worthy to crack the nuts. However, in that sense, he argues with Rashbag. Rashbag is lenient on two fronts. He's lenient that it doesn't have to be kashur, and it doesn't even have to have a shem keli on it, so long as you designated it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, he holds like him in one case, and he argues like him in another case. He holds like him what? I agree, you don't have to have it kashur. Even if the kaneh is resting on the ground, it'll be permissible to use it. However, that's only because it is a keli. And therefore your designation will do something, because it is a keli itself somewhere else. It can be used for something. And therefore, he says it is permissible. So he agrees with him on one, and he argues with him on another. Rashi says clearly, we read that inside, Svira lekevate behada demetukan va'alfa pisheno kashur. As long as you're designated, even though it's not tied. Upaliga lebehada deba'e torat keli. Whereas Rashbag is the most lenient. He says, even if it doesn't have a Torat Keli on it, it is going to be permissible. Darash Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha Afetcha Deresh Geluta.
Now regarding this halakha, Rav Yitzhak was Doresh in front of the gates of the Resh Galut. He said, halakha kerebi Eliezer. Now we go back to our Mishnah regarding the pekak, which means, do you need it to be tied and dangling or not? So he said, when it comes to that, we follow Rabbi Eliezer. We take the strict opinion. Mativ Rav Amram. So Rav Amram brings a question of Yitzhak Nafha. He says, how could you say that? Because we're going to learn at the end of the Masechet the following statement. Umidivrehem lamadnu. The Gemara is going to say, from their words we learned, Shepokekim umodedim vekoshrim beShabbat. The Gemara is going to tell us in the last perek that in the days of Rabbi Tzadok and in the days of Abba Shaul ben Botnit, there was a story that happened that on Shabbat the Achamim went and they closed up a window. There was a situation of Tum'ah and they didn't want the Tum'ah to spread into the house. So they went and took a board that was on the ground. It wasn't kashur, it wasn't talui. And they went and they stuck it and they clogged up the window. Right? So, and they made also a knot, the Gemara says. They made a certain type of knot in order to use it for measuring. And they also measured the size of the hole in the roof to see if the Tum'ah actually will enter or not based on a law of Tum'ah. Based on that one story, the Gemara said, oh, we learned a lot of things from this story over here. Number one, that you could tokek on Shabbat, because they went and they clogged up the window. Number two, you learned that what? You could be moded. You also had to measure, which they did measure to see if the hole was the size of a tefah, regarding the laws of Tum'ah. So measuring is also permissible, at least for a purpose of a mitzvah on Shabbat. And kishira, tying also, which means they made a knot that wasn't a permanent knot. You see, it's also permissible. But for our purposes, leave the kishira and leave the medida. For our purposes, the Mishnah says, from that story we learn that pikika is mutar. So how could you tell me halakha is going to be the yaezer? We have a story at the end of the Masechet that clearly said that from that episode we learn that even if the board is on the floor, it is permissible to stick it into the window like they did on Shabbat. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, "My da'atich, what do you hold? Mishum diktane stama. The reason why you're telling me I should follow this opinion, is it because it's written stam, which means we have a rule. We have a rule like this. Whenever you have a Mishnah or a statement that the Mishnah doesn't tell us who the author is, that's called a Stam Mishnah. And usually, Halakha does follow Stam Mishnah. So he comes along and says, is that why you're asking me from that we should follow? Is that why you're telling me we should follow the opinion of Hakamim and be lenient? Is it because it's a Stam Mishnah? Where's the Stam Mishnah? Rashi. Look at Rashi. My datech. Demotet Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha Meha. Which means, because you're going to tell me that what? Since over there, it doesn't tell us the names of the rabbis. It's a Stam Mishnah. So that's why you're asking me. You're telling me, oh, we should follow Hachamim, because over there it's just a Stam Mishnah, and usually Stam Mishnah, that's the halakha. So Abiyah says, that's not a question, because Negrar Negrar Nameh Stamahi. He comes along and says the case of Neger and Negrar, which is Tanakama, of that case of Neger and Negrar, it didn't tell us the name of the Tanakama. And we know that the Tanakama is Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, just like you're bringing me a Stam Mishnah to tell me Hakamim, he has a Stam Mishnah that Halakhaz like Rabbi Eliezer. Again, we learned in the case of Neger and Negrar, we had a Mishnah. What was the case? Tanan. Neger and Negrar is, if it's tied, and it's... If it's actually resting on the floor being tied, Tana Kama said Asud b'Medina. It is forbidden to use in the Medina. The Gemara said, "Who's that opinion?" It's a Stam Mishnah. Who's that opinion? Oh, by the way, that's a Rabbi Eliezer. So he comes along and says, "Oh, so you got a Stam Mishnah like Hakamim? I have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, why is your Stam better than my stam. So he comes along and says, "Mafilu achem maaser rav." He comes and says, "I'll tell you why." He says, "Because it's more than a stam mishnah. They actually did it. When you actually do something, which is there was a maaser, the rabbis actually went on Shabbat, and the story is told that they took the board and they clogged up the window. So it's not just a statement in the mishnah." It's actually a statement that's backed up by a story, by a maaseh. So therefore, the Gemara says, since maaseh rav, the halacha therefore should follow shitat hachamim, that it doesn't have to be kashur, or it doesn't have to be talui, according to that respective opinion. So comes the Gemara and says further, the Mishnah and says further. Kisui akelim sheyesh lahem bet achiza. Now we go back to what we discussed earlier. If you have a kisui kel, you have a cover of a pot, so long as it has a bet achiza handle to it, nitalin b'shabbat, it is permissible to move on Shabbat. Amar b'yoseh said, b'me devarim umurim b'kisui karkaot. That's only talking about where it is a cover that is covering a manhole, meaning something in the karka, meaning it's a hole in the ground, and you have a cover on top, then we say you need a handle. Avab kisuya kelim, but on vessels, ben kach u ben kach, nitalim b'shabbat. It doesn't matter. Whether it has a handle or not, it is permissible to move on Shabbat. We will see the handle now in the Gemara. Rashi says, b'kisuy karka, let's read Rashi in the Mishnah, kegon kisuy bor vedut. For example, like a bor, right? Either it's deep in the ground or it's an above ground. The point is, Dahavi kibone, because if it doesn't have a handle on it, when you put it down there, it looks like it's going to stay there. Of course, it doesn't have access to lift it up that easily. And therefore, he says, Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to a board in the ground, then you need a handle. Because then it's mukhah, it's evident that what? It's temporary. You're just putting it there, you're going to take it off. Therefore, it's not considered bone. However, on a board where you put a cover that doesn't have a handle on it, that is going to be asur. But by a pot, everybody knows it's temporary, and therefore, whether it has a cover or not, he's going to say it is handle. Whether it has a handle or not, is going to be permissible. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Again, Rabbi Yohanan, we reiterate his opinion that this is only talking about where the cover itself can only be moved, even if it has, let's say, a handle to it, but so long as it has a function, which otherwise is not a keli. A cover is not a keli, and therefore it covers the keli. But in order to be movable on Shabbat, it has to be a keli itself, as we looked earlier, either used to serve things on it or something like that. Right, so Rabbi Hanan, that's Rabbi Hanan's opinion. Now, the kula alma kisui karkaot. Now we discuss the argument. Everybody agrees that the covering of things in the karka imyesh lehem bet achiza in. So if it has a handle, it's permissible. Eilo lo. If not, not. So by karka, everybody says you need a handle. So it's evident that what? That it's temporary, and therefore it's not bonet. Kisui akelim, and everybody says the other way. By kisu kelim, by covering vessels, afagav de'en lahem bet achiza. Even there is no handle on it, it is permissible, because again, it is evident that it is for a temporary, even if it's not considered a problem. So what is the issue? Again, so long as it is a keli, according to Rabbi Yohanan. However, ki peligi, so what's the subject over here? Bekelim tehavrinu be'ara. Let's say you take a keli, and you attach the keli to the ground, okay? And now you want to cover it. So now the question is, how do you look at that keli that's attached to the ground? Is it like a pot, or is it like a bor? So the Gemara says, mor sabar gazninan, umor sabar lo gazninan. Which means now we're going to discuss, do you make a gezerah or not? You have, let's say, a vessel with a cavity in it, yeah? And you've attached it firmly to the ground. So now, one rabbi is going to say, that's not the ground, that's a keli. Therefore, I don't care, you could put, as long as, even if it doesn't have a cover on it, you could cover it on Shabbat, no problem, it's kisui kelim. Another rabbi says, you're right. But since it's attached to the ground, so they have a gezerah, if we allow this, they might come to put it in the ground itself, and therefore you're going to have a problem. So that's the mahlokit. By karak, everybody agrees, you need a handle. By kelim, everybody agrees, you don't need a handle. Where's the mahlokit? by kelim that are attached to the ground. Do we make a gizra atukarka or not? The Shna Acharin, there's another text over here, which is really the same thing according to the Rishonim. Ki peligi bikisui tanur. Let's say you have a tanur, an above ground tanur, an oven that's attached to the ground. Similar case, right? One rabbi is going to say, it's like kisui karka, since it's attached to the ground, therefore you're going to need a handle. One is going to say, no, the tanur is a keli. I don't care if it's attached to the ground, it's a vessel itself, therefore you're not going to need a handle. Let's just read the Rashi over here. Look at Rashi in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Vehu sheyesh Torat keli alehen. The kisuyan alalu hazu letashmish de'alma. Right? That the kisui has to be ra'ui for another tashmish. Aval kisui keli lo amiran keli hu. Right? Just because it covers the keli, that does not make it a keli. It's a cover. It's not a keli. Therefore, it has to have another a function on its own to be movable. Good. Continue Rashi. Udikula alma mishum de ukmar Rabbi Yochanan biyesh torat keli alehen. Once already we're establishing according to Rabbi Yochanan that these type of covers, the only way you can move them on Shabbat is because they have a torat keli. It's tzaricha lememar. We have to say the chipeligi rabbanan bekelim dehavrinu be'ara peligi. We have to say that the only case where the rabbis are arguing is in one case. The case of kelim that are attached to the ground. Meaning, because according to the Hachamim, once already there's Torat keli on it, so I don't care if it has a handle or doesn't have a handle by kelim, regular kelim or cover, handle doesn't matter. And by karka, everybody's going to agree, you need a handle, because otherwise it looks like boneh. So therefore, where is the case where the rabbis are going to argue and say you need a handle? The issue is going to be on kelim that are attached to the ground. Do you consider it like karka or not? Hachamim are going to say, yes, we consider it like karka, therefore you're going to need a handle. Another rabbi will say, no. As he says, kelim kelim alma, which is regular vessels, afagav deletlu lekisuyim bet ahizam betalteleh. On a regular keli, I don't care if it has a handle or not. So therefore, it's very important when you read the Mishnah, gentlemen, you go back and it says kisuya kelim sheyesh lam bet ha'izan italim mishabat. That's got to be talking about not regular vessels, because regular vessels, I don't care if it doesn't have a bet ha'izan handle on it. So long as it serves itself, it can be used as a kli somewhere else. It's mutar kotel b'yachanan. That case is talking about. It's attached to the ground. You have a kid that's attached to the ground. Then we're going to say you need a bet aiza for the issue of, because it looks like boneh. So again, you have three situations. You have karka, where everybody agrees you need bet aiza. You have kelim, where everybody agrees, even hakamim, you don't need bet aiza. Because what's the problem? The only issue is it a keli itself? If it's a keli itself, no problem. You can take it, put it on and off, and because it's used for other things. And the machloket is going to be a keli or like an oven, either way, that's attached to the ground. Do you consider that like kelim? If you consider it like kelim, beautiful. Just cover it, put it on without a handle. If you consider it like karka, you're going to need a handle. Hadran alach kol hakelim. Now we start the 18th perek. This perek is going to discuss, at least in the inception, the subject of exertion on Shabbat. Hachamim did not want us to overexert ourselves on Shabbat by moving different things around the house, unless, let's say, you had a purpose. What's a purpose? Let's say Sorech Mitzvah, or because of Bitul Torah and things like that, then they waive their Isur. Now the Mishnah discusses Mifanim, one is allowed to clear out Afilu Arba V'Hamesh Kupot Shel Teben V'Shel Tebuah. Let's say you have four or five boxes of straw or wheat, and you want to clear it out, you need space. So the Mishnah says, "Mipnei orchin," if it's because you're having guests. So then already we'll let you exert yourself to move even four or five boxes of straw or wheat. "Umipnei bitul beit hamidrash," or because, let's say, you need spaces for the students to learn. And therefore there's no room, so you'll have to lift up and exert yourself to move these boxes away in order to set up, let's say, chairs, in order to be able to have the Bet HaMidrash. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah says, Aval lo et ha'otzar. However, you cannot clear out the otsar, the storage house. The Gemara will explain what this means. Now we discuss what you're allowed to move. We mean, what type of products are you allowed to move? Meaning, even when the rabbis are going to tell you, you can move things, but they didn't waive their laws of mukseh. The item has to be a non-mukseh in the box. So now the Gemara's Mishnah says, Mifanim terumah tehora. One of the things you're allowed to move on Shabbat, obviously, would be terumah tehora. For example, you have, we know, the Kohen receives a percentage, 2% of the produce. If a person is a Yisrael, let's say, he has a field of wheat, he has to give 1/50th, let's say, that's Ayin Benunit, that's the median measurement from the Torah, 2%. Not from the Torah, really from the Torah, he has to even give one piece of wheat. But the rabbis came along and made a measurement, 1/50th, 2% to give it to the Kohen. Now, this Terumah sometimes is not worthy for the Kohen to eat, but it's worthy for his animals to eat. And the Kohen is allowed to feed it, so long as it's worthy for his animals. So the Mishnah is telling us over here that if you have something that's ra'uy, non-mukseh, meaning if a person is a Kohen, and he has in the box, terumah tehora, so then it would be permissible for him to move it on Shabbat. However, it should be pointed out, if it was terumah teme'ah, it would be mukseh. Now why? Even though normally, let's say, you can give terumah teme'ah to the animals, because really, what's the deal with terumah teme'ah? You have to destroy it. You have to burn it. One of the ways of burning it, you don't have to actually put it to the fire, you can feed it to the animals. The only problem is there's an isur to consume terumah teme'ah on Shabbat. How come it's forbidden? So therefore, by giving it to your animals, you have an isur of consumption of terumah teme'ah. So therefore, the terumah teme'ah would be mukseh. So for the only boxes you're allowed to move so far is terumah tehora, because they have viability for the Kohen to feed to his animals. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Vidmai. What is demai? Very good. Demai is fruit that you bought from an Amaris. Now, the Amaris was questionable if they gave their tithes or not. Which means a person has to give, besides his terumah, he has to give ma'aser to the Levi. He has to give 10% to the Levi. When a person buys something from an Amaris, it's questionable if he gave his terumot and masrot or not. That food is called demai. So the Mishnah is telling us that demai is not mukseh on Shabbat. And the Gemara will explain why. Why is demai? Really, a regular person is not allowed to eat demai. But we'll see, the Mishnah is telling us it is non-mukseh. Umaaser rishon shenetela terumato. What is maaser rishon shenetela terumato? Let's review the entitlements. Person gives his terumah to the Kohen, that's 2%. Then what does he do? He has to give 10% to the Levi. The Levi has to take an additional 10% from what he gets to the Kohen. So therefore you have terumah to the Kohen, Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi, and the Levi gives what's called Ma'aser Mina Ma'aser. He gives 10% of what he got to the Kohen. Only after he gives his 10% to the Kohen does his Ma'aser Rishon now become viable. Now it becomes edible. He cannot eat his Ma'aser Rishon until he gives it to the Kohen. So that's what the Mishnah says. U'Ma'aser Rishon Shenitla Terumato. Meaning Ma'aser Rishon of the Levi, that the terumah was given, meaning terumat ma'aser, or ma'aser mina ma'aser. So as long as that was taken out, then it's viable, therefore it's non-mukseh. U'ma'aser sheni vehegdesh shenifdu. What is that? Besides the ma'aser rishon, the Yisrael must take an additional ma'aser, called ma'aser sheni. In the first, in the second, in the fourth, in the 50 years of the Shemitah cycle, he takes an additional 10% to Jerusalem, and he must eat it in Yerushalayim. If it's too much produce to bring to Jerusalem, he's able to make what's called pidyon. He's able to take the kedusha off the ma'aser, transfer it to a coin, take the coin up to Yerushalayim, and then the ma'aser sheni becomes hulin. Meaning he can eat that ma'aser sheni now wherever he wants, because it's not kodesh anymore. He transferred the kedusha to the money. Of course, that money has to be spent in Jerusalem, and that food has to be eaten in Jerusalem. So the Mishnah is telling you, if you have ma'aser sheni, that you redeemed. So therefore, this Maaseh Shni is non-mukseh. Even if you're outside of Jerusalem, it's not mukseh. Since you redeemed it on a coin, therefore it's movable on Shabbat. The same thing would be with Hekdesh. Hekdesh is, let's say, you have a korban or something that you consecrated for the Beit HaMikdash. Now, you don't want to bring that item to the Beit HaMikdash, but there's Kiddushah in it. So you can transfer the Kiddushah to a coin. Now that item goes back to becoming Hulin. And therefore you can use it, therefore it's non-mukseh, you don't have to eat it in Jerusalem. So again, now, these cases seem elementary. The Gemara is going to ask, isn't these, all these cases are obvious, like Terumat Tehorah. Of course, why should I think Terumat Tehorah should be mukseh? Of course it's not mukseh. Or a case of Maaser Rishon, where the Levi gave his Maaser to the Kohen. Of course it's not mukseh. Or the case of where you have Maaser Sheni, where you redeemed it properly. Of course the Maaseh Shini doesn't have Kiddushah now. Therefore you can even eat it outside of Jerusalem. Therefore it's not Mukseh. The Gemara is going to make a Hiddush in each case. In any event, the Mishnah continues. Ve'aturmus hayavish. Turmus is a type of bean. And it's dried out. Now, the Hiddush of the Mishnah is that although a human being cannot eat a turmus, we learned earlier in this Masechet that a turmus, in order to become edible, you have to cook it at least 7 times in order to make it edible for human beings. However, animals can eat a dry turmus. So since it's feasible for animals, so if you have a box on Shabbat of dried turmusim, you can move it out of the way. Mishnah says it clearly because it's considered food for the izim, for the goats. Now we discuss items that are mukseh. Tevel is fruit that the turumot and the maasrot were not given. That food is called tevel, it is mukseh. Velo et maaser rishon shelo netilat terumato. Or let's say you have maaser rishon of the Levi, and he did not give his tepes sent to the Kohen yet, that is mukseh. Velo et maaser sheni v'hekdesh shelo nifdu. Or you have maaser sheni or hekdesh, that they did not put there, they did not redeem it, therefore it still has kedushah, therefore you cannot eat it only in Jerusalem, therefore it's going to be mukseh. Velo et taluf. Loof is a type of legume, Rashi says, that it's not edible even for animals. Mukseh. Velo ta hardal. Hardal is the mustard seed. Also not edible until it is crushed. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel matir beloof. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, the loof bean is not mukseh. Why? Mepteshu ma'achal orbin. Because you can feed it to the ravens. Now she says the rich people in the olden days used to raise ravens. So therefore, since bottom line, it's edible for certain type of species, non-mukseh. Habile kash. You have bundles of straw. The habile etzim or bundles of wood. The habile ziradim. Habile ziradim would be type of soft reeds. And bottom line, they are edible for animals. So the Mishnah says, "Imit kinan lemaakal beema." If you designated them for animal food, metatlinotan. No problem. It's not mukseh ve'im lav emetatlinotan. If you didn't designate them, no. So bottom line, our Mishnah is really giving us a list of things that are movable and are not movable. But the Gemara right away analyzes the opening statement of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can clear out 4 or 5 boxes. So obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, if you could move 5, obviously you could move 4, so what do you have to tell me, 4 or 5? So the Mishnah Gemara says, Hashta chamesh mefanim. If you tell me it's no problem even to move 5 boxes, arba mebaya. Do you have to tell me 4? So Amar Fazdar, Fazdar is a hadush. He says, you know what the case is? Arba mechamesh. The case is talking about where you have, let's say, in the entire space, 5 boxes. You're only allowed to move 4 out of the 5. Which is when the Mishnah says, Mifanim arba v'chamesh, as if it says arba mechamesh. 4 out of 5. Now why? Why can't you just clean out the whole area? So Rashi tells us, because we're concerned, if you clear out the whole floor, we're worried that you might find holes in the floor. And the guy might come to now fill in the holes in the floor, and that's considered boneh. So the Hiddush is that you're not allowed to clear out the entire area, which means if you got 5, we let you take 4. So long as it's not totally clear, you're not going to fix the ground. So comes the Gemara and says, That's not chazda. We skip the parentheses. Vehamesh meotzar gadol, which means when the Mishnah says mefanim arba. Arba means four from five. And then when it says chamesh, it means, let's say you have a big otzar, you have a big storage house. So the maximum number that I'll let you move is five. After five is considered already exertion. It's considered tirha. So we have two dinim in the Mishnah. You have the din of what, in the case where you only have five, you can only take four and you got to leave one there. But the maximum box that you can move on Shabbat, even from a warehouse, is only five, because after that it's considered too much exertion. So comes the Gemara and says, "Umay avaloy ta'otzar." So then, according to the Pasdah, we have a question. Because if you're telling me you could move five from the warehouse, from the storage, why did the Mishnah then say, "Aval lo et ha'otzar"? What do you mean? According to the Pasdah, you indeed can move from the otzar five boxes. So the Gemara answers that, "Umay aval lo et ha'otzar, shelo yathil be'otzar tehila." So what does it mean when it says, "Shelo yathil be'otzar tehila"? So he holds,
Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen. Amen. Amen.